Andrew, From the Cross to the Throne, 19th of August, 2012.
Praise the God. Yes, we need to learn to forgive ourselves. And as we forgive ourselves, we learn to, also in that learning of that, we learn how to forgive others. So praise his wonderful name. God is a God of forgiveness.
Yeah. Amen.
We can only receive forgiveness through the cross.
Amen.
Without the cross, there is no forgiveness.
No, there isn't.
The subject for today is what happened from the cross to the throne.
Praise his name. Amen.
It's a mystery. We think we know what happened, but it's a mystery. There's still much more yet to understand about the mystery of the cross.
Yeah.
There are many people who accept Jesus Christ as their own personal Saviour. Some it takes years to understand that they need to forgive.
Yeah.
Because Jesus has forgiven me. Do you know some of them never come to that point?
No.
And for some reason, I don't know why it's not preached at times, but you have to learn to forgive.
Amen.
And guess what? You're not right all the time.
No.
Sorry, Ray. You're not right all the time. Neither am I. And so we need to realise that there's something more powerful in the work of the cross than what we probably understand at this point in time.
Yeah.
There are deeper things because the Word of God is a mystery. And it's only as we begin to ask God to show us the mystery that we begin to see the power of what the cross is all about.
Yeah.
So it's important to find out what God is really saying, what Jesus was really doing and what really happened.
Amen.
In that death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We were talking a little bit about this on Wednesday. And during the time of the Reformation, Calvin, Luther and the Wesleys, there was a great deal of revelation of the Word of God.
Amen.
There was a bigger understanding, a greater depth of understanding that came. Because the Word was being opened to the people.
Yeah. Amen.
So often we can get locked into a doctrine.
Yeah.
And that doctrine is okay. The easiest explanation that possibly we can say about a doctrine is they're stepping stones.
Yes.
A doctrine is not the whole truth, believe it or not.
No.
Because over the years, my doctrine's changed. I've been given a doctrine. I was shared a doctrine to understand.
Yeah.
But over the years, they are. You begin to realise they're just stepping stones.
Yeah.
Of moving deeper into the mystery and to the revelation and to the knowledge of God, who he really is, and what the work of the cross and what the work of and what our work is in the kingdom of God in the future.
Yes.
And so our doctrine is a stepping stone.
Yeah.
Well, that reduces it down, doesn't it? Suddenly we, you know, when we think we've got a doctrine,
know it all.
Oh, you know. It's as if we've been to university and they've given us a certificate that says we're a doctor. You know, we've received a doctorate. Oh, I've got my religious doctrine. You hear people say, I've got my religious beliefs. And so you have. But these are stepping stones.
Yes.
Towards a deeper revelation.
Yeah.
Of God himself.
Yeah.
They're only stepping stones. If you want to get across to the other side, you have to move on to the next stepping stone.
Praise God.
Just because you've arrived on a stepping stone and you stood in the middle of the river,
yeah.
What are you going to do now? One day you're going to just fall in the river.
Yeah.
You're going to come out wet through.
Yeah.
But you want to be on the other side.
Yeah.
But you've got your doctrine. And it stands in the middle of the river and it holds you strong. But the full truth, the full revelation, is on the other side. And you don't have it when you stood in the middle of the river on your doctrine. And so, Jesus will not say to you when you get to heaven, St. Peter won't stand at the gate and say, "So what's your doctrine?" Will he? He said, "What have you done with Jesus Christ?
Amen.
What have you done with Jesus Christ?
Yeah.
Did you take him and make him your Lord and Saviour?" That's the doctrine that carries us all the way, but we bring other things in. Because what we call doctrines are little revelations we catch of God and of the truths of God. God wants to take us further in. It's like Ezekiel 47 when it talks about the river.
Yeah.
Starts as a small trickle. God wants you into the depths of the river.
Amen.
There are things in there to swim in and to seek out in God. And so for each and every one of us, God wants us to press in that we might know more of the power and the revelation of God. But the mystery of the cross is powerful. And if we don't know and have not got a deep relationship with our Lord and Saviour, we will be knocked off course.
Yes. Yeah.
The devil has people out there that he is prepared to sacrifice to destroy you.
Yeah.
You're a number one target.
Yeah.
The devil has people out there that he wants to destroy you with. He will use people to destroy you.
Yeah.
I know that my mother has died and gone to be with the Lord and is in his presence. One of the worst things that could happen to me is if the devil was to steal my faith, to destroy my relationship with him, and I lose my relationship. Do you know what that means? I would never, ever, ever see my mother again. Is that true? What the devil wants to do. He wants to separate. He wants to kill, steal and destroy. But the cross is there to join together.
Amen.
Wonderful testimony this Friday. Some of you will have remember that we were praying for a girl called Donna. She was so close to going into Teen Challenge. It was unbelievable. And the devil brought somebody along and was a non-Christian and said to her, "Oh, you don't need to go into a Christian rehab. We can put you into a rehab and just get you off the drugs and you'll be fine." And she sowed these seeds of doubt. An outsider. So, So I said to her, I said, "Ask your caseworker how many people that have gone through her sort of program are still off the drugs." Well, she never did, and we never saw her again. I hadn't seen her again until this last Friday. And this is going back to January, February. I've lost track of anyway how long it was. But going back quite some time, and she suddenly appeared on the scene again. The first thing I did was I went to her and encouraged her, because she knew that when Andrew gets on the case, he gets on the case. You know, there's a life there that's going to a hell, that's going to a lost eternity. It's going to be cut short. It's like, well, if I've got anything to do with it, if I can be a big enough signpost, then I will be. And we started again to share with her. She's meeting with us again this week. So praise God. But you see, somebody comes in with a thought to steal you from the God.
Yeah.
You see, you're a precious vessel.
Yeah.
You're a vessel that carries the anointing of God in your life. And that anointing is there to be outpoured on other people's lives.
Yeah.
That anointing is from God. It's part of God Himself. And God wants to use you to reach out to others.
Amen.
But somebody wants to come and steal and kill you. That's the truth. They'll do it any way they can to destroy you. They'll take your money. They'll creep into your life.
Yeah.
And they begin to steal and cheat on you.
Yeah.
And they seek to destroy you.
Yeah.
And to kill you. And then in the end you've nothing left.
Yeah.
And there may be no way back. Don't lose your faith. Don't lose your relationship.
Amen.
Over trivial short-term things. Oh, don't
yeah.
give yourself up for cheap things.
Yeah.
Don't go cheap in your life.
Amen.
Do you want to see your loved ones that have already gone on to be with the Lord?
Yes.
Well, don't sell yourself cheap.
Amen.
Jesus never sold himself cheap on that cross. Don't give yourselves to the world system, to its bright lights and its wads of money. A few years ago, when we were winding up an estate, we had to sort out some finances for somebody. And we went to the Halifax. And their financial advisor said to us, there'll never be any problem with the Halifax. We're too big to go bust.
Yeah.
Next week, he was looking for a job.
Yeah.
They'd gone bust.
Yeah.
Listen, don't get caught by the bright lights.
No.
Don't get caught by the diamonds, the rings and the things and the gifts. And the surprise is, because I tell you this, it will destroy you.
Yeah.
Stay close to Jesus, because if you want to move on, if you want to live in eternity and see what God is doing and what God has planned for you, then you have to stay close to Jesus.
Yeah.
And the power of the cross begins to move in our lives.
Yeah.
There's victory in the cross. There's freedom in the cross. And we know God's righteousness for our own lives. And it is so important, you see. People will lie to you. We've already. They lie, they cheat, they steal. God says, Jesus, I've come that you might have life.
Yes.
Have it more abundantly.
Amen.
And God wants you to realize more and more the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And what God wants to do in your life.
Yeah.
We looked at the scripture Isaiah 54 on Wednesday. I'm just going to do a quick refresh. Isaiah chapter 54. And verse 13 and 14. And it says there, and all your sons will be taught of the Lord. And the well-being of your sons will be great. In righteousness you will be established.
Amen.
You'll be far from the oppressed. You will not fear. And from the terror, for it will not come nigh you. These are the promises of God to you and to me.
Amen.
And we've got that now at this time for our lives. But we have to begin to live in that. We have to walk in that. And we have to realize that God wants to fulfill that in our lives. And that can only be fulfilled in our relationship with Jesus Christ through the power of the cross. Without the cross, we have nothing. Again, on Friday, I was explaining to Tabin about Jesus' sacrifice and his death on the cross. And that man became separated from God, and there was this great gulf between God and man. How are you going to get across? Said, God sent Jesus to be a man.
Amen.
He died on a cross. They crucified him, his righteousness and his love and his truth. They said, and he bridged the gap. Because he was man, and yet he was God.
Yes.
He was the Son of man, and yet he's the Son of God.
Amen.
And when he died on that cross, his blood made a sacrifice and a cleansing, and it healed the breach.
Amen.
For you and for me.
Yeah.
It healed that breach. So that we could actually access God.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
God wants you to realize that He wants you to have a deep relationship with Him.
Praise
Him. He wants you to have a deep relationship with Him. He wants you to come into His presence. He wants you to know Him in a deeper way.
Amen.
Do not have a shallow experience of God. Again, it's back to the river. You're just paddling in it. You're just paddling. It's a shallow experience.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's not as exciting. It's not as refreshing.
No.
It's not as releasing.
No.
As getting out into the depths.
Yeah.
When all the weight is lifted off.
Praise God. Yeah.
And you begin to float.
Yeah.
You begin to float.
That's what
he wants. In God. And you rest in His presence. He says, He upholds me with His right hand. He's there, He says, for me. He says, come on. You ever remember when you learnt to swim?
Yeah.
In the swimming pool or wherever it happened to be. Somebody was teaching you and they were holding you underneath, weren't they?
Yeah.
And you were, you know, paddle, get your legs moving, get your arms moving. And I'm holding you, you'll not sink. Yeah, go on, you're doing okay, fine, keep doing it. Yeah, that's great. Go on, keep doing it. Next thing you know, they've let go and there you are, you're going. And then you're going all right. And then suddenly you realise they're not at the side of you. And then what happens? Panic strikes, don't you? And you freeze. And what happens? Just like a stone to the bottom. And they come running and grab you and pull you up. You were doing great. What happened to you?
Yeah, that's it.
You left me. You left me. You weren't there. Well, you were doing it on your own. You didn't need me. We'll never not need God. But He wants to teach us to swim in His blessing.
Amen.
Helen's here for one great reason. She had a grandmother.
Yeah.
That took her in and that prayed for her. No matter what she did, her grandmother prayed for her.
Amen.
You know something? Her grandmother's in heaven rejoicing.
Yes.
You know something else? If Helen stays the course, they're going to meet again.
Amen.
If she doesn't, because you see, I don't believe once saved, always saved, because I believe you have to have a constant, personal, everyday relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about just sticking your hand up, filling a form in and say, I've made Jesus Lord of my life, so I'm okay, I've got my ticket, I'm going to go to heaven. No, you ain't.
Relationship.
It's about a relationship.
Amen.
The cross is a relationship.
It is.
If she walks away from Jesus now, I'm telling you this, she'll not see her grandmother. And I know people who are believers who've got a doctrine who says, once saved, always saved. Well, I don't believe that. Because I want to know, and I've preached on it before, that scripture where it says, these each received talents, and one did nothing with it. And that wicked servant was cast into outer darkness, and yet he was a servant of the master. And yet he was cast out. That does not preach to me, once saved, always saved. It's preachers that...
There's also
There you go, when you get into Revelation, if you're neither hot nor cold, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth, God says. So, hey, come on. And so I don't believe it anymore. That's a doctrine I was taught. Well, that means that once you get saved, you can do what you want. Can't you? You can just go on and do it. You can sin all you want. You can get drunk. You can be debaucherous. You can do all those things and you're going to heaven. It's all right. You ain't saved, you're right. You ain't saved, you stuck a hand up. Yeah. So don't think just because you come to church that everything's fine. Church happens twice a week. What are you doing for them 5 days? I can do what I want, can I? You know, I'm all right. Nobody's watching. Well, guess what? God is.
Amen.
God's watching. I'll get to the message in a minute. I was doing something else at the moment. It's about living 24/7. It's about being Jesus and Jesus being in you. That's the power of the cross. It's the power of His death and His resurrection for you and for me. That He gives you the ability to live life as He's lived that life. And the devil will always challenge it.
Yes.
He will always send somebody along to interfere. He will always send somebody along to steal from you.
Yes.
He will always send somebody along to stop you doing what you know you should be doing.
That's right. Absolutely.
Every time. But I want a sure and certain future in God.
Amen.
The only way it's sure and it's certain is that I turn away from all these things that seek to draw me away from God.
Yeah.
And I stay close to Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Let me tell you this. There is no other way to God except through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There is no other way. He is the Son of God. He's the only perfect Son of God. And there is no other way.
Amen.
Save Jesus Christ.
I am the way, the truth.
Mohammed can't save you. Allah can't save you.
No.
None of the Hindus and the other gods can save you.
No.
But Jesus is the only way.
Amen. Amen.
All of the doctrines, all of the ways are false.
Yes.
It says there is no other way to the Father. Save Jesus through Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, do not be drawn into these other ways.
No. Uh-oh.
It might seem an easier way.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's the way of... Broad is the way that leads to the path of destruction.
Narrow is the
gate through that cross. Through that sacrifice of that cross. We need to realize that God has brought us to that point where He wants you more than you want Him.
He does.
Bless him. Bill's been sharing this last few weeks how he's been here 12 years maybe. Time moves on and we stop counting.
Yeah.
I don't count anymore. I just enjoy, you know, glory to God. What's today got for us today? God's got the blessings for us.
Amen.
If we want to participate. We want to engage with Him.
Yeah.
And I've seen Bill begin to catch hold. Mm. He's grown into his relationship with Jesus.
Yeah,
you know, and you can't force a... Well, you can force a plant to grow. I've done it. I once put some seeds in an airing cupboard. Forgot about them. I went in about 2 weeks later, and they were just, they'd come up, hallelujah, they'd come up all right, and they were about a foot long, but they had no strength.
No.
They had no energy to stand up for themselves.
No.
They were just gangly,
yeah,
skinny, useless.
No.
Weren't quite lifeless, but they were, do you know what? They weren't starved of water. They weren't starved of nutrients. But they were starved of the light.
Amen.
And Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Don't starve yourself of the light. You know, when the sun comes out, we all feel better, don't we? You know, the S-U-N. When that comes out, we feel great, don't we? Oh yeah, we're happy, we're smiling. It's always out there though. It's always shining. The clouds get in the way. The Son of God is alive, He's risen, He's ascended, He's glorified, He's living forever, He's always out. He's always shining. But we let problems get in the way. They're like clouds. Some are bigger than others, some are darker than others. And these grey clouds come over us. Somebody brings some doubt. Or somebody brings a deal. Oh, I've got you a great deal. Come with me. Oh, come with me.
No.
I've got something for you.
I don't want it.
I'll give you this. In exchange for... You've got nothing, I'll give you this. This is far bigger.
No.
And that's what it does.
Yeah.
And he brings people along like that. I had somebody once came to me and said, you stick with me. You come with me. I'll make something of you. It was like the starting gun went off in a race. Boom! And I ran the opposite direction.
Amen.
I never saw that person again. Never. 12 months later, that person was out of the ministry, finished. I need God to make something
Amen.
Of me, not man.
Amen.
I don't need a man to make something of me. I need God to make something
Amen.
Of me. Because if God's hand's not on me, and if I'm not doing the will of the Father, then I'm doing nothing.
No.
I'm marking time.
Yeah.
I'm doing nothing.
Yeah.
And so the cross is the opening where we can enter into the presence of God. Where we can find the blessings of God in our lives.
Yeah.
Where we can find a hope, a future,
yeah.
an eternal life
yeah.
with Christ Jesus.
Praise God.
God says there are many rooms in my Father's house and I'm going to prepare a place for you. Well, let me tell you this, the devil's already got a place prepared.
Yes.
You have two options, you have two places of accommodation where you can stay
yeah.
for eternity.
Yeah.
One's a hell of a prison.
Yeah.
Hell of a place for torment.
Yeah.
Eternal darkness.
Yeah.
Hatred, malice and greed and envy. Bitterness, twistedness,
yeah.
self-centeredness, deceit and destruction. And yet, the other place, God's paradise.
Yeah.
Where God provides everything for you. The light, the glory,
yeah.
the blessings, the love, the power, the joy, the fruitfulness,
Amen.
Patience, all those things are in there.
Amen.
A paradise restored back to us
yeah.
through the cross.
Praise God.
We need to realize this.
Yeah.
Without the cross, we have nothing.
No.
Without the cross, we have no hope. And if we don't take Jesus and make Him Lord of our lives, and I tell you, sometimes it's an effort.
Yeah, it is.
It's an effort.
Yeah.
It's a challenge.
Yeah.
But God said He has equipped us to that challenge. If we will let His word... You need to read the book.
Yes.
And I know these days people... You know, people have gone through school and come out... And I can't understand why our society has got to this point... Where people can hardly read. Mm-hmm. Well, don't worry. There is an answer. CDs, iPods with the Bible on.
Amen.
Chapter a day keeps the doctor... devil away and on keeps you healthy and strong.
Amen.
That's what you need. Meditating on the Word of God.
Yeah.
You see, the Word of God is life. Jesus said, I've come that you might have what? Life. And have it abundantly.
Amen.
It's not shortchanging you.
No.
Some people try and tell you, oh, being a Christian, it's going to be boring. You can't do this. You can't have that. You can't go there. Well, I'll tell you what. These days, who brought that prayer request about somebody who got smacked in the face and put in hospital? Who wants to go out to a club, a pub, and then pick up a drink by accident and then get the living daylights beaten out of you? Put in hospital, and there you are, a cabbage for the rest of your life. For what? One glass of poison. Because that's what it is. Oh, they're having fun, Joan, aren't they? Oh, they're having a great time. And they're not. It's short-lived. Short-lived.
Yeah.
Yeah, many of them go home with headaches, can't remember what happened. We see it. We see the alcoholics that come and see us in Teen Challenge. We see the destruction of it. It's not what God wants. You know, the cross brings us to a point where we can enter boldly into the throne room of God, because God makes us righteous.
Amen.
We're made righteous through the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we can come into His presence, as it says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. It allows us to come into His presence. You see, Paul wrote this so that the Jews could understand that they could come into the presence of God through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, they had been taught in their law only the high priest once a year could enter into the presence of God. The rest of them, you weren't allowed in. You were kept out. You were kept away from the presence of God. There wasn't any of this come boldly into the presence of God. And yet, before the law came in, the old saints of God sat in the presence of God. God came and met with some of them.
He did.
And yet when the law came in because of their rebellion, are you going to be rebellious? You're going to be stiff-necked? Are you going to do your own thing? Because your own thing will take you to a lost eternity. Your own thing will bring death, will bring captivity.
Yeah.
He whom the Son sets free is free indeed.
Amen. I'm free.
God did not create you to be held captive. Created you to be free.
Amen.
Set you free. Hebrews 4 and verse 16. Well, let's look at verse 14, because it gives a fuller picture, first of all. Since then we have a great high priest. Who's the high priest? Jesus. Who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, and yet he was without sin. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in a time of need.
Amen.
There are times when we have a time of need, and we can have that confidence to enter into His presence, and we can know His power and His grace and His mercy and His love through the cross flowing through our lives.
Yeah.
Jesus came to do that work. Nothing that the world could do, they could never kill Jesus. Do you know why? First of all, He's born the Son of Man. Yet He does not have the sin of man in Him. He's born of a natural woman. But the seed is the seed of God,
yeah.
who is sinless and spotless, holy and pure,
yeah.
who does not know sin. And the two come together and a child is born of the flesh, but yet of God.
Amen.
And yet he's called the Son of Man, as Adam, the second Adam. There he is, spotless. And for the next 33 and a half years, he walks through the earth, sinless,
yeah.
spotless, still the Son of Man, but yet also the Son of God.
Yeah.
Still without sin in his life. In other words, the only time that you can kill somebody, this is how God intended it, the only time that somebody can die is because of sin.
Yeah.
Adam wasn't created to die.
No.
Eve wasn't created to die. Jesus was born to die. But man could not kill him. Man could not kill Jesus. Jesus had to surrender his life. Jesus had to allow himself to become sin. It's sin that kills us. It's sin that will destroy us. And we know that of a truth. When we're in the Word of God, when we start letting the Word of God flow through our very being, do you begin to feel good?
Yeah.
Do you definitely. Begin to feel healthy?
Definitely.
Hey?
Yeah.
Does it make you feel better?
Yeah.
Well, why don't you take more of it?
That's it.
You know, you hear all these things about these antioxidants that are great for your body. Well, I've got another one. It's called the Word of God.
Amen.
It's great for your spirit, great for your body.
Yeah.
No, there's no adverse effects from it.
No.
Just keeps giving life. Just keeps building a relationship. Just brings you closer to your Creator.
Amen.
To somebody who really, really, really loves you.
Amen.
That's what it does.
Yeah.
So God is there. He's drawing us to Himself. Constantly. And Paul is saying to the Hebrew people, come on.
Yeah.
This is totally alien to their doctrine. Right? Their doctrine said you can't go near God. Their doctrine says, oh, you can't get anywhere near God because if you do, He'll destroy you. And Paul's there saying, come on, draw near to Him. Yeah, but Paul, my doctrine says...
Uh-oh.
We're back to where I started. I finally got somewhere. Paul had the same doctrine at one time. Then one day he met Jesus through a blinding light because Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And the light of the world came and slapped him straight in the face.
Yeah.
Boom, there he was. And he said, and Paul couldn't see.
No.
His natural eyes were blinded.
Yeah.
But he heard a voice.
Yes, he did.
The voice. The voice.
Amen.
And the voice is not the voice that you hear on TV. But he heard the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ, who's been risen, ascended, and glorified. And he heard that voice calling his name.
Yeah.
Calling his name. God has called every one of you.
Yeah.
He's called your name. And days later, one of the disciples goes and prays for him.
Yeah.
God said to him, go and pray for that Paul guy. What, you mean that killer? You mean that guy that's throwing us all into prison and sending us to the lions? Go and pray for him. You've got to be joking, God. Forgive him.
Yeah.
Forgive him. We heard earlier about forgiveness. The disciple could have said, listen, God, he's thrown 5 of my friends to the lions.
Yeah.
Some of my best friends. And you want me to go and pray for him? Test for the disciple. Are you going to forgive him? So he goes and prays for him. And his eyesight is restored. God comes in on the scene in a greater way. And we know through, because of Paul, we have so much of the revelation of Jesus Christ. But yet not all is yet fully revealed, let me tell you. And it says so in the book. Praise his wonderful name. So here we see that God is wanting to reveal more of himself to you and to me. Started with Paul, tremendous revelation that Paul had. He stopped. Reformation came in and we saw more of the revelation, more of revelation, of an understanding for practical man for the things of God.
Yeah.
Stopped again. Now we're all dancing in the outer court, having a great time. Got my tickets, I'm on my way, hallelujah, going to heaven someday. Do what I want, say what I want, be what I want, but I've got my ticket, I'm going to heaven someday. No, you ain't. You might just be stood on the wrong platform. Because Jesus will tell you where to stand. Jesus will show you the way.
Yeah.
He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. And the only way you can know the way is to know the person who is the way.
Amen.
You have to find out, because sometimes he has to tell you, we got to go this way. Mm. Narrow is the way. It's not easily picked out. It's not easily found.
No.
And so the only way to find it day by day is to have a relationship with the one who knows the way.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Amen.
Without him, we don't know the way.
No.
Without him, we will be lost.
Yeah.
Have to keep him in our sights.
Amen.
Have to keep our eyes on him.
Yeah.
Fix your eyes upon Jesus, he says. Yeah. Fix your eyes upon Jesus. He's the author. He's the finisher of your faith.
Amen.
Well, let me tell you this. If you hang back for a few days, when you go looking for him, you might not find him. You might have slipped too far down. You might have become imprisoned with what you've been doing. Like these drug addicts, these alcoholics we meet, they've become so imprisoned by their drugs.
Yeah.
They can't break out. They can't break free.
No.
This week, I heard a story of a man who is a deacon in a church. He's worked in some rehab work. It's been discovered this week that he has some images on his computer, etc., and that he's been doing certain things. He's a deacon in the church. Now, what's happened along the way? Something has taken him captive. Along the way, he's become weak. The Bible says even the very elect can be deceived. So just because you think you've been in it a long time, just because you think you study your Bible and you know your Bible, that does not mean that you and I cannot be deceived. It means you're just still a target to be deceived. The devil would love to deceive you and me. He'd love to deceive me, because if he could deceive me, you lot would all go somewhere else, or maybe just jack it all in.
Yeah.
Don't work anymore.
No.
It's no good.
Amen.
I've seen the devil set traps for me.
Yeah.
Sometimes I've not seen the traps.
Yeah.
Fallen in them.
Yeah.
The only way out is cry for Jesus.
Amen.
Put him centre of all things so that we don't fall into the traps.
Thanks, God.
You know, people don't realise the power of the work that went on in the cross. If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 23. Verse 38. This is as towards the end of the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's preparing his disciples. He's sharing with them. And he said to them, behold. Let's read verse 37. It says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stone those who are sent to her. See, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the high priest had a doctrine.
Yeah.
You only prophesy good things and we'll listen to you.
Yeah.
If you prophesy anything negative, guess what we're going to do?
Yeah.
We're going to stone you, put you down a well, whatever we can do. Stop you prophesying these awful things.
Yeah.
Because we're not going to listen to you. Because you see, we want God in a box.
Yeah.
And we want to take our God out of this box and he will tell us good things. And then when he's told us good things, we will put him back in this box.
Yeah.
And if he prophesies bad things, we'll put him in the box and we'll lock him up and keep him there till he changes his mind and prophesies good things. Now, this is the stupidity of man. This is the arrogance of man. Who says, God, you will not prophesy bad things to us. I'm going to put you in a box and keep you locked up there.
Uh-oh.
God laughs. God laughs at the frailty and the futility of man's imagination. And says, what? Who do you think you are?
Yeah.
I made you. We're not listening. Got you locked up. Stay there. They're going to do their own thing. Jesus is saying, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets, stones those who are sent to her. How often have I wanted to gather your children together?
Yeah.
The way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. And you were unwilling.
Yeah.
Unwilling.
Probably
another version where ought to say you were rebellious, stiff-necked, arrogant, so-and-so. It says you were unwilling. And then Jesus goes on to say, behold, your house is being left to you desolate. Because you've cut me out. Because you've locked me away, the house is going to be left desolate. There's going to be nothing there. Nothing there at all. What does all this mean? It means the house of God. It means the temple. You see, they were offering sacrifices and the priests were saying, cross my palms with silver. We'll pray for you. And God will forgive you. If you don't do it the first time, cross my palm with some more silver and we'll pray some more for you. Hey, it's still happening today. On the TV channels. It's happening in churches. We were in a church not too long ago where there was this. Okay, God's told me there are 10 people here that are going to give £1,000. Right, Praise God. Not, you're not under any pressure. Hallelujah. But I'll wait for you.
You'll wait a long time.
I mean, I've seen this done a few times. Got to come and bring your offering to the prophet. Put it at the feet of the prophet. And you'll be blessed. Humbug. There's a stronger word than that, but I'm not allowed to say it. Glory to Jesus. It is absolute junk. If Jesus is not being exalted, and don't give him a dollar, don't give him a pound, give him nothing.
Absolutely. Don't even give him your time.
Jesus has to be exalted in the midst. Said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. If he's not being lifted up, then nobody's being drawn to Jesus.
No.
Tell you that for now. It's not about money. You see, if God gets your heart, he's got your money.
Sure.
He's got everything about you. Because your heartbeat is for God. And no matter what God asks of you, you will do it. And you will do it with all of your heart, with all of your strength, with all of your might.
Yeah.
Because it starts with the heart.
Yeah.
God wants the heart of man.
Yeah.
Not interested in your mind, because in your mind it's full of junk.
Yeah.
In your mind it's full of junk, unbelief, doubt, fear.
Yeah.
False knowledge, false teaching. Fear. Oh, what if this happens? What if it does happen? The Bible says, fear not.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Don't want your mind. Want your heart.
Amen.
Wants the passion of the Spirit of God to flow through you. Jesus says, look, Jerusalem, he says to them, priests and the Pharisees, the Sadducees, he says, see this temple? He says, in 3 days, I'll destroy this temple, and in 3 days, raise it up.
Amen.
This temple. What's he meaning? This temple where Jehovah dwells. See, they had a temple in Jerusalem, and Jehovah was dwelling in the Holy of Holies. But in 3 days, Jesus was going to finish that. And so when he was crucified on that cross, on the third day he rose again.
Amen.
And on that resurrection day, there was now no more sacrifice. There was no more a holy of holies in that temple on Mount in Jerusalem. The holy of holies had been exposed. Do you know why God tore the curtain from top to bottom? He tore it for one reason. And I've preached exactly that. I've preached so that we can enter in. But do you know something else? There was something else far greater than that that I realized this last week. God tore it from top to bottom to show these arrogant doctrinal believers the glory was no longer in the place.
Yeah.
The glory of God had left the Holy of Holies in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
It was now waiting for a number of vessels to inhabit.
Amen.
He's looking for earthen vessels to fill with his glory.
Amen.
So his glory had now left the temple. Do you know, after that, there's no more sacrifices in that temple.
Yeah.
I said on Wednesday, in the last 50 years after that, there wasn't a member of the high priest family that could be traced.
No.
They were all gone. Mm. All gone. But God tore that curtain from top to bottom. Just as Jesus spoke that word and said, it is finished.
Yeah.
What did he mean? What did Jesus have to do? Because you see, they couldn't kill him. But Jesus took upon himself the sin of all of mankind. What happened when it says he took upon himself the sin? What it really means is that Jesus became the sin. Jesus became the sin on that cross. And the moment that that happened, darkness covered the earth. God turned away. Just picture this for a moment. God is light. That's what the Word of God says. This is during the daytime. Sin. Jesus has become sin. God cannot look upon sin, it says. And so God turns away. What's the opposite of light? Darkness. Darkness descended on the earth for 3 hours. Well done. God was not able to look upon sin. So remember, when you and I go to God, God wants to see you in that state of sinlessness through the sacrifice of the blood of Jesus. That's what he's constantly lives and breathes through each and every one of us. That's what God wants to see happening in us. And so Jesus there hangs on the cross. And when he said, "It is finished," he then gave up his life as a sacrifice. You see, he said, "I have the power to lay down my life and I have the power to take it up." They were confused by all of this. Who does he think he is? He's not thinking, he's not trying to think who he is. He knows who he is. He tried to reveal to them who he was. But their doctrine would not let them believe it. They're looking for the Messiah. They're still looking for the Messiah. Yeah. He's been. He's gone. The work has been done.
Yeah.
You see, the other thing that happened is that when Jesus died on that cross, when that veil was torn, when the priesthood was done away with, when the temple was done away with, guess what? The nation of Israel was done away with. They were no longer had a right to think, "He's our God." They no longer had that right. Because Jesus came for all of mankind. The old covenant is now finished. The sacrifice of blood and goats no longer applies. But the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, who we have to accept him as our Lord and our Savior and as our sacrifice.
Yeah.
He's what counts.
Yeah.
He's the only way.
Yeah.
And we have to realize that when we take him as Lord and Savior, it brings us into a new dimension. Brings us to a new place. And suddenly we become sons and daughters of the living God.
Amen.
He's paid the price. He's made a way where there is no way. And he's there, hanging on a cross for you and for me. We have to realize this. We have to realize that God wants to do great things in our lives. He wants to change us in such a wonderful way that we've never known before. It's important that we realize that God has a work for you and I to do. If you turn to John's Gospel in chapter 4. John's Gospel, chapter 4. And verse 32. They'd been out ministering to the villages and cities around about. They were hungry. So the disciples went to seek for some food for him. And themselves. And they came back to him. And the disciples said, "Yeah, Rabbi, eat, you must eat. And he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. And the disciples therefore saying to one another, no one brought him anything to eat, did he? Who's brought him food? And Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Jesus had a mission.
Yeah.
Jesus had a target.
Yeah.
Jesus had a goal. And that was to go to the cross.
Yeah.
And to become sin. To take on the form of sin. To take the punishment of sin. Yeah. And to be sin. And in becoming that, God turned his back on him.
Yeah.
In becoming that, he was totally unrighteous. Satan took him down into hell and thought, I've conquered. Again, I've conquered. But you see, he'd never sinned. He just took yours on board.
Yeah.
And he who knew no sin, who became sin for us, because he could lay down his life. Mm-hmm. See, no matter what happened, they could not have killed him. Yeah. Jesus could still be alive in the natural flesh today because he knew no sin.
Yeah.
That's freaky. You know, 2000, he'd be over 2,000 years old and still alive. We say, how can this be? 70, 80, 90? How can this be? Sin kills. That's right, Ray. Jesus knew no sin. But in that prison, in the depths of hell, the light of God and the voice of God penetrated it and called him. Called his name.
Amen.
Called his name.
Yeah.
It's a greater miracle than the miracle of Lazarus even. He was dead 3 days in the tomb and Jesus shouted, Lazarus! Come forth! And up from the grave he arose.
Amen.
And when God called his son,
yeah,
up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes, a victor over the great domain.
Amen.
And he lives forever with the saints to reign. Amen?
Amen.
This is what our God can do. This is my Jesus.
Yeah.
He's done all of these things and he's done all of them well. Hallelujah. This is the mystery and the power of the cross. The cross is something that is so strange. You and I would not choose that as a direction to go. But it was the only way. And in choosing that way, he gave you life. He gave me life. He gave you freedom. He gave me freedom. He gave me eternal life. He gave you eternal life. And it's through Jesus Christ. And the cross is the mystery of all things made unto you and to me. I just want you to begin to realize, we're going to continue with this subject, I think, for some weeks yet. Because there is much more to be understood.
Amen.
It's not just, today, many people use it as a symbol. It's not just a symbol. It is a total life change. The total life change. It's a total new and fresh revelation of God himself and who the Son of God is. And we'll look at that in some more depth in these next few days. Thank you for your time. I know it's been hot and steamy today. May the Lord bless you. Keep Jesus first.
Amen.
Don't be deceived by others. Do not be drawn in.
No.
Do not get involved with people who do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior.
No.
When I say that, I mean don't get into any deep relationships with these people.
No.
They will destroy you.
No.
They will take you captive.
No.
And they will destroy your life.
Yeah.
Bit by bit.
Yeah.
Until until when you realize it's too late. I've seen it happen before. Drugs, it just starts with a little bit. Alcohol, one drink. And it begins to multiply. One pill. Oh, that was good. I felt great after that. Oh, that was fantastic. A few days go by and one person feels depressed and sad again. Oh, I'll take another one. Didn't work as well that time. Next time I'll take two. That'll be better. And so it goes on and they add and add and add until in the end they become a prisoner. It all just starts with a simple thought. Something that attracts them in, that draws them in. People of God, do not get caught by the enemy. Do not become a prisoner to the lies of the devil. But let Jesus set you free. Follow him.
Amen.
He has a better hope. He has a better future for you than anybody else.
Yes.
Make Jesus the center. And if anybody says they're against Jesus, if anybody says they don't believe it, they don't want Jesus, then flee from them.
Amen.
Keep away from them.
Amen.
Because they're bringing destruction.
Yeah.
They don't care about you. One thing in this world that's certain. 90.99% of people are self-centered and selfish.
Yeah.
And they only want you for what they can get out of you. God forbid I ever be like that. They only want you for what they can get out of you.
Yeah.
And if you can't give it, they'll leave you. They walk away. Or if when you you've given all that you've got available, they'll walk away.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
And say, sayonara, baby, thank you very much. Yeah. I've got all that you've had. You ain't got no more. I will find some other sucker that can drain dry. And that's what the devil does. He drains.
Yeah.
You see, when Jesus died on that cross, he drained his lifeblood.
Yeah.
He thought, I've drained him dry. I've got him.
He did.
I've got him. I've got his lifeblood. Took it to hell and said, look what I've got here. I got his life. Without this, he's totally dead. Well, on that third day, Jesus said, no, you ain't. That blood's pure, spotless and holy. And he took that blood. Hey, I'm serious. He took that blood. Because he says he went to heaven. And he went and took it into heaven. He placed it on that mercy seat of God.
Yes.
He took it there and he signed the deed.
Amen.
He signed the contract. He signed the deed of redemption that said, this is my blood that is sealing and signing the redemption of all of humanity.
Amen.
That's what that cross is doing. That's what the blood is doing. It is signing the deed that says that you are redeemed from every sin, sickness and disease by the mighty power of our Lord Jesus Christ through his resurrection life. That's what it's doing. Most people just got a ticket. It's not even signed and sealed. Because they've not met with Jesus. Don't let anybody steal this from you. Don't let it happen. I've seen so many people lose their way in my short lifetime. See them lose the way, fall off the pathway, never come back, gone to a lost eternity. Sad. Heartbreaking. Lives that God had so many plans for. Lost along the way. Because the bright lights, the offers of better things, took them away from Jesus. when the better things turned out to be nothing.
Yeah.
And they never made it back. Because they'd been drained of all strength. They'd been made to feel so unworthy and so guilty. And I know some of them that even committed suicide. No hope. No future. The cross is a symbol that says that I have a hope.
Amen.
I have a future.
Plus that.
And Jesus says, I will bring you and give you eternal life.
Yeah.
But it's that relationship as we walk hand in hand with the Master.
Amen.
And we can look him in the face.
Yeah.
And feel his love. That flows into our lives and ministers peace and his power and his victory of healing and his power of deliverance from captivity. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Lord bless you. There's no way I can stop this one, so we're just going to stop. And I just hope that you're getting the message. This is more than just simple crucifixion. There are some mysteries in this yet to be revealed.
Amen.
To each and every one of us. Amen. Lord bless you. Go away, ponder on these things. And if you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, be like those people that said, Lord, what must I do to be saved?
Mm.
That's right. Ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart and life. Forgive you for all your sins. And you know, if you've done this and you've grown cold, come back to him.
Amen.
While it is daylight.
Amen.
Come back to him while there is time.
Yeah.
Come back while it is day.
Amen.
And know the power of his risen life in you.
Praise God.
He stood there with open arms like the prodigal. Mm. The prodigal father. Standing there. Waiting for his children to come home. Don't walk away from him.
Mm.
Don't leave him. I tell you what, it might cause you pain walking away from the things of the world.
Mm.
But it'll cause you far less pain than it will cause you from walking away from God.
Wow. That's just unbelievable, unthinkable.
There's it's not a cheap deal,
no.
This one.
No.
This is important. Walk away from the world system and walk into the hands and the arms of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And know his power and his resurrection for you.
Yeah.
If you want to see relatives, you want to see a future, Jesus is the way.
Yes.
And he's the only way.
Yes.
Amen.
Praise God. Thank you, Andrew. When I've got my little notebook. It's just a habit I always have, and it just sort of seals the word for me to write notes. And in my little notebook, there's a word at the top of the page, and it says obedience. And on the next page, and it just like a little flash of revelation, this little verse that I've quoted quite often in Psalm 119 and verse 35. David said these words, make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. And I always thought, no, God can't make you do anything. It's your free will. But David's praying here. I think David understands what Andrew's been talking about today. We're all vulnerable. And the devil knows your vulnerable spots. And my prayer is, Lord, make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. So often we forget the delight of walking in the paths of the Lord, and we need God to remind us, remind me, Lord, make me do it. And he will, because he'll put roadblocks, he'll turn people away. You know that when the enemy came against his people, because God was there to defend them and he loved them. He said, I will put a hook in his nose and I'll put a bit between his teeth and I will turn the enemy back the way that he came. Make me walk in the way of your commands, Lord. Put a hook in the nose of my enemy in this temptation. Put a hook in its nose. Put a bit between its teeth and turn it back by the way that it came. I don't want it. I delight in your commands. Amen. So don't forget that little verse, Psalm 119 and verse 35.